At the annual Harvest Festival service, a speaker asked the children to name some of the things that they were seeing out on display. One boy said carrots. Another child said potatoes. And someone else said peas. So the speaker then asked the question, "Can anyone give me a word that would cover all these items?" There was a few moments of silence, then one little boy shouted, "Gravy!" Well, we rarely use the word advocate in everyday language, but it does cover a lot of things. Comforter, counselor, friend, guide, helper, intercessor, interpreter. While Jesus was in the flesh with his disciples, he was all these things to them. But God's plan was to be there for us all the time. And it was so important to him to provide that, that as we heard this morning, Christ himself suffered on account of sins. Once for all, the righteous one on behalf of the unrighteous. He did this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, companion, who will be with you forever." A little later, after the reading we had this morning, he's telling the disciples that he's going away, and he's explaining the importance of his going away, saying, "I assure you that it is better for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the companion won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Greek word parakletos, used here for the word companion, is translated as advocate, helper, comforter, and is a legal term for a trial lawyer who advocates for us. It also has a broader meaning of someone called to our side to help us. Sometimes that guidance is in the form of correction. But we also heard the Holy Spirit this morning called the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit is on our side, defending us with the truth. Could it get any better? And then Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Kingsley Kesey, a youth advisor and community volunteer at LuPane State University, located in Zimbabwe, wrote an article in the Sunday Mail on what an orphan needs. He wrote, "A few months ago, I was part of a group of young people that was involved in donating a variety of items at a local children's orphanage. Among the things donated included clothes, stationery, basic foodstuffs, old toys, blankets, medical stuff, and some money. As part of spending the day with the children, we cooked for them, we ate with them, played a few games, and gave them a devotional message, after which we waved goodbye." This is the typical donation that's given as a way of charity. "Now, a very small boy came up to me and asked, 'Are you leaving today?' I gave an immediate yes, and he went about his way to join the other children. What struck me was that he asked me this question with the intention of wanting something. It was as if he wanted me and the rest of my friends to stay for a while, maybe for some days or months. I'm thinking a year even. So like any person, I followed the young lad and asked him what he needed. He looked at me intently and said, 'Never mind.' From that very moment, I realized that there was something missing, and I decided to do a research on what an orphan needs. After Kingsley completed his research and of talking with a number of people at these homes, the staff members, the children, even some seniors in a nursing home, he wrote, "You see, whenever we intend to help those less privileged, we usually think about what we should give them. And don't get me wrong, that is still fine. Coming to my answer to this whole topic, what came out as the overall thing that an orphan wants and needs is none other than love." He said, "I go back to the definition of an orphan. According to the general definition in Wikipedia, an orphan is a child whose parents are dead or have abandoned them permanently." After most results Kingsley got from the people he talked to, he said, "A child who is regarded as an orphan normally needs someone to talk to and be able to share their feelings with, which is why the young small boy asked me and whether me and my friends were staying for some time. He wanted to have the feeling of being loved and appreciated much more than just a day." So Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I, in the form of the Holy Spirit, will come to you." Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an agent or an influence. He's God. We don't refer to the Holy Spirit as it. He is the Holy Spirit, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And no one can explain it. I suppose one example might be a dancer. You have the person with the choreography and the action of the dance. If you take any one of those three items away, you don't have the dancer. It's like when the fourth grade teacher asked the classroom, "How many of you can explain electricity?" One little girl lifted up her hand, and the teacher said, "Okay, Susie, what is electricity?" And the little girl thought for a moment and bit her lip and said, "I forgot." And the teacher said, "That's too bad, because you're the only one who ever knew." Oh my. After the sermon today, we will affirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed, which include the words, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets." The most beautiful image for me in Scripture is from Luke chapter 3, which says, "And the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness.'" All three members of the Trinity, right there, present, evident, in one setting. The Holy Spirit is always with us, even when we don't acknowledge his presence. The Holy Spirit walks with us, leading, guiding, and supporting us on our journey. The Holy Spirit may come in the form of a person. How many times, when you are at your lowest, does someone appear who walks the path with you and supports you as you dig up your way to the light? And the Parakletos hears us when we cry out and comes to prop us up. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." How might you avail yourself to support someone as comforter, counselor, friend, guide, helper, intercessor, and perhaps prop them up in their hour of need?